You're listening to Rivals of the East.
Welcome back to Rivals of the East. I'm your host, Buzz, with co-host Sean. And Sean, it's been a little bit. Free agency has been going down, my friend. And, well, who's to say what's going to happen in 2023? But I can tell you that Miami and New England got some new players, man. What do you make of free agency so far? And we'll kind of get down to it here, but what do you think so far in the NFL?
Pretty boring.
Yeah, it
pretty
is.
Boring here. Not a whole lot of stars in the wide receiver collection aspect. Outside of the quarterbacks that have still yet to drop in free agency, nothing has been too crazy. No huge splashes, nothing that's really caught my eye. But you know what? That's fine, because it's about the draft this year.
It's always about the draft with Bill, and I'm not talking about the first, second, or third round. It's always the fourth, fifth, and sixth ESPN2 coverage kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
That's obviously where Bill's mind is at, not free agency. Although I remember like you had a funny thing in New England is that they're always trying to figure out ways to make things that are inexpensive even less expensive. And like I saw that Jalen Mills got released. And I'm like, what are they doing? Are they going to do a corner in the draft? And then, like, the next day, Jalen Mills resigns. I'm like, what is this? Like, what are you just cutting guys? And then
a little bit of a sleight of a hand. Hey, not really okay with the contract. Will you come back and I'll just, you know, convert some of that now and do that later? And then, before you even hit the free agency wire officially, they had already spoke.
Well, speaking of they've already spoke, a lot has happened this offseason so far, especially in Miami. We'll talk a little bit about some of the big things that have happened, but kind of kicking it off, Dolphins football talk here. So Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel had a press conference after the Buffalo loss in the wild card, and a couple weeks after that, came out and said that Tua is the guy for 2023, which if you listen to Sean and I, you knew it was going to be Tua all along. Whether he's the right choice or not, we're going to talk about that. But as we look at, we knew quarterback wasn't going to be something that Miami was going to be looking at for, Tua at least in terms of competition. But obviously, backup wise, Teddy Bridgewater wasn't going to be there. Skylar Thompson's still there, but they're probably going to bring somebody else in. If you look at some of the big things that Miami has done, a lot of restructures have gone on. Bradley Chubb has already had to have his contract restructured. Tyreek Hill. Teron Armstead, a couple others as well. And you kind of look at some of those moves and you figured Miami was low on cap. We were going to have to sign some depth pieces. We had a few guys, maybe, you know, I was originally thinking maybe we're looking at shoring up that right tackle, moving on from the bust of a draft pick, Austin Jackson, but boy, was I wrong. We actually went the other way. In fact, the reason is because Byron Jones, of course, as you know, Sean, he's done. In Miami, which if you listen to us, by the way, in the old episodes, we already called that about a year ago when he went in for surgery and wasn't going to be back by week six. He was done. He wasn't coming back. And he's going to be a post-first June cut. So what did Miami do? Well, they took advantage of the LA Rams, as did most people, and this fire sale they had going on. And we picked up Jalen Ramsey at cornerback, not an offensive tackle. We went cornerback to help old man X. Of course, X is 30. He's going to be going on 31 in the season. But Jalen Ramsey coming in, we picked him up. And Sean, when you saw that Miami traded a third and our tight end who's on a rookie deal, Hunter Long, what do you think of that trade? What would you grade that trade? And what are your thoughts about that while I get his contract information up?
Probably just a B, not a B plus, not a B minus, just a straight B. And my reasoning for that is you didn't really lose much outside of cap. You know, you took the hit, you kind of took it on the chin with Jalen Ramsey's contract. And, you know, you didn't really lose too much apparently in tight end because I guess they thought that little of him. But
it breaks my heart. We're going to talk about tight end because obviously – you know,
yeah, the only thing that a third's really that important to is probably Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I don't know what Sean McVay is going to do with that. I mean, they still got Matt Stafford and Aaron Donald, but that's about it. Jalen Ramsey got picked up by us. He signs a 3-year deal with Miami, $55 million. He's got an 8.8 signing bonus he picked up, $35.5 million guaranteed of that 55, no matter what. He's got an average salary rate. He's about 18.3, so he's right there with X in all the top corners. He's, you know, because of what we did with his guarantee and with his bonus and everything, he's only a 1.165 hit on the cap coming up this season. Excuse me, his base. And then with his bonus, he's only about 2.93, I think it is, cap hit. So it's like under 3 mil in a cap hit, whatever. The next two seasons, you know, that's what we're kind of looking at. You know, he's got dead cap value of 35.5. But if we're looking at cap hits next year, because of us kicking the can down the road, 2024, well, I say next year, but the following season, $27 million as a cap hit, $27 million. So this is a 2-year rental, Sean. We know Miami's in win now mode. That's what these moves indicate. We picked up Bradley Chubb and overpaid for him, and he got hurt. You know, and we paid him. You knew, and we gave up our first. So you knew that that was a win now situation. So it doesn't shock me, since Byron's gone, that they want somebody else back there. They don't want Kader Kouhou or CJ Bethel or Keon Crossan to be opposite of X, because it wasn't good. And of course, with the pickup of Vic Fangio, he's going to need talent on that side of the ball. So it just made sense in that regard. But yeah, we were 24th in the run. I still would have liked to have seen some moves, and we'll talk more about what they did. But yeah, I would agree, probably a B. But what do you think of that money? Think that's worth it?
I think if you already kind of didn't have that money kind of moved over to X, and I think for what you're kind of getting from him, you're probably devoting too much resources to the same thing. So
it's interesting, because we'll see. To me, I feel like going into this past season, we probably were better off trading X, and we could have had another first or maybe a couple draft picks based on his 2020, you know, one season. He had a severe decline. He had nagging injuries. He had things like that, you know, which is expected, but he's 30 years old at corner. I mean, look at Darius Slay. Darius Slay started, while playing still great, I mean, he started getting injuries racked up at 30 as well. So that just is part of the game. But a couple of things that Miami did do after this signing, or trade, I should say, with Jalen Ramsey is, of course, one of the biggest things as far as departures went from Miami, and this kind of goes with New England as well, Mike Gesicki, our tight end. You know, we lost Hunter Long in the trade. We had Durham Smythe, and we had Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki, he walks because he was on a franchise tag, which was one of the stupidest things we did last season. I don't care what anybody says. That was a waste of $10 million. And, Sean, where did Mike Gesicki go? I'm curious. Where did a big-bodied slot receiver who's got good reach go to? What team?
I had to actually look onto the roster. No, Mike Gesicki signed with the Patriots for 1 year and like eight and change.
One year.
Has some incentives that can make it two, but it's actually a $6 million contract. Everything else would just be incentive laden. So, good deal. You know, you kind of had an opening and opportunity with the Patriots moving on from, I don't know, one of my favorite players. I think everyone knows if they've been listening or following the show with me, Jonnu Smith, the complete waste of life, cap space, roster, brain space between the eyes. Just get rid of him. Like I think I said it week two onward. I was like, Just move on, please. So I was kind of thrilled that they were able to trade him, I believe, for a third round draft pick to the Falcons. Just get him out of here. I don't care. Just go. So Mike Gesicki, interesting, because he's actually kind of the polar opposite of Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith, very athletic, you know, has feet, can block some. He could do a few things, except for catch the ball. Mike Gesicki, good catcher of the ball. He does need to line up in the slot, as you said. So he is a different kind of type, but I think Bilio, I think he's going to figure out and make good use of him. So I'm pretty satisfied with that. It gives you different combinations you could do. Maybe you won't be doing two tight end sets because that's, you know, it's 1A and 1C, not necessarily two tight ends lining up against the tackles.
Don't count on them to block.
I'm pretty thrilled with that. But speaking of Patriots free agency, you know, the most important things, re-signing the first five guys that you had on one-year deals. That's what Bill Belichick does. We moved on from Jake Bailey. You know, he kind of didn't play towards the end of the year. I guess there was some issue with Bill Belichick making him do squats and him getting injured because of it. So that was a bit of an issue. But
hey, he's on to us now. He's a Dolphin now.
Yeah, you
give
you can,
Jake Bailey some credit.
You know what? He was an All-Pro for a year, and he played probably like the worst punter in the league last year. So you're welcome, guys. Roquan McMillan, you know, just kind of plugging away some of those linebacker holes, not doing anything, not losing anything, re-signing for 1 year. Mack Wilson, same thing. Not really sure what you have with either of those guys. They're just kind of depth, their bodies, their special team linebackers. Outside of that, you know, the sleight of hand trick with Jalen Ramsey, not much going on there. I don't know. There's this one guy in the Super Bowl that we saw a few times with the Chiefs. Do you know who that guy is, Buzz?
In the Super Bowl? I think you're referring to the Chiefs legend, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes, Juju Smith-Schuster. The Patriots let Jacoby Myers walk. I was taken a little aback by that, but I guess it makes sense because if you want a guy that's going to be in the slot, as you know, Billy O, he kind of prefers that, that Wes Welker guy, he was pretty good in the slot. Billy O liked feeding him the ball. So Juju Smith-Schuster, about the same height, about the same size, but built differently. He's a little more slender. He's definitely, you know, faster of the foot than Jacoby Myers. I think he gives you a little more run after the catch. So I thought the move made sense. You know, they paid, if anything, probably slightly under what the Raiders paid for Jacoby Myers. So solid deal. You know, maybe you just kind of switch two things and you go, maybe this is slightly better than that. I can't see it hurting. It only looks like a good move. So you were talking about Jalen Ramsey and the money and how I was saying that it was kind of repetitive when you have an older cornerback in Xavier Howard, who's also taken up a decent amount of cap space. I actually thought that one of the things the Patriots did was what the Miami Dolphins missed out on. I would have thought, you know, for instance, if they traded, you know, X, you know, picked up a draft pick, you know, maybe moved on from some of that money in years past. Jonathan Jones, what did he go for? That could have been a good two. He's younger. You know, he played starting corner for the Patriots for his first time, and he wasn't bad. He wasn't a world burner, but you know, he wasn't bad. 2 years, 19 mil. I think you guys could have gone for that, you know. So I was actually pretty satisfied with that contract. That's a bargain by far. Re-signing Jabril Peppers, Joe Cardona, the most expensive snapper.
Yeah, what was with that? Is that just Bill just having that soft?
That's just Bill doing Bill. It's just Bill doing Bill. I don't pay much notice to that. Brian Hoyer cut, not a big deal. There was some
show some respect.
Some things that came out after the season ended. Apparently, he had also some issues with Matt Patricia and some of the play calling and the offensive scheming. So I guess he was on what is it, Mac Jones? He was on Mac Jones' boat when it came to the offense, and they went, see you later, buddy. Another notable signing, James Robinson, came from the Jaguars.
Right.
You know, he kind of caught on, but he was part of, you know, that removal when the new regime came in for Mr. Peterson in Florida. So he brings a little bit something that Damian Harris didn't have that they also let walk. He signed 1 year to the Buffalo Bills. That's a little notable. I like Damian Harris. You know, he was definitely a goal line back. He had some, you know, run ability at times, but with consistency, with stretching and long runs, I think James Robinson can kind of give you that and a little bit more of a tool in the backfield. So if anything, maybe a slight upgrade. Nothing too crazy there. Riley Reiff, you know, the old man tackle that has like 800 and something snaps logged in the NFL. So you actually have a tackle that probably could play tackle, unlike, you know, Isaiah Wynn, who just...
Why do you hate Isaiah Wynn? You have these players you just hate, Sean.
Listen here. When
he could send you a Christmas card. You wouldn't even look at it.
When you draft a guard for a tackle in the first round, and he's not even a good tackle or a guard, that's a problem. It's a problem.
I mean, he's no Rashawn Slater, but come on now.
So, one year, here, let me see what it is. $5 million. So I think we can afford that. I think that was a decent, you know, that's not a long-term answer. That's just we're going to put some veteran guys out there and just hope it's a better room. You know, it just, what is it? The rising tides, you know, something about carrying
rising clam chowder.
Yes. I don't know. Some nonsense that Bill Belichick's probably,
he's pinching pennies, man. I hope he's got enough retirement fund left.
Calvin Anderson, we picked him up from Denver. He's kind of been a young guy who is really athletic, has done a little bit of everything. He's a really good, run blocker. And kind of untapped probably in his blocking capabilities. Just needs a little footwork use. But besides that, he's strong, he's big, he's fast. I just think he's just kind of throwing many things at the wall, hoping something's going to stick. Maybe he goes in the draft. I don't know. I was fine with those. Patriots didn't do a whole lot outside of that. A lot of special team guys, you know, Chris Board, like, I just, you know, Bill just having a little bit of fun, you know, Cap
just,
putting her
dude,
tail
just
on
call
my
it what it is. What a stupid free agency. Like, it's honestly, is New England, what is New England banking on?
What are they banking on? Billy, what are they? That's pretty much what it is. The draft in Billio. That's how I feel. So speaking of that, let's talk about the Dolphin needs in the draft. And is there anything that's just glaring? You just looking. What do they need now? Right now, one thing.
Listen, okay. Here's what Miami addressed in free agency, and this is going to lead to my answer as far as what we're needing in the draft. So when it comes to running back, we re-signed Raheem Broken Thumb Mostert, who is 31, 2 years, $5.6 million. We re-signed Jeff Wilson. Now, I like Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, I agree.
Jeff Wilson was a good pickup. 2 years, $6 million. I thought that's affordable. Guaranteed is 2.6. I got no problem with that. We did pick up again, and some of these are going to be depth pieces, right? So, Nick Needham, of course, he got hurt last season. He's young. He's 26. We picked him up at corner. He's usually been a solid nickel for us, $1.8 million, for a year. We picked up Deshaun Elliott, safety for depth from Detroit, $1.7 million for 1 year. We picked up another tight end, Eric Saubert from Denver, 1 year, $1.6 million. We picked up Justin Bethel again. I called him CJ Bethel. That's my bad. Justin Bethel at corner, 33 years old. I guess a veteran presence they wanted. He wasn't anything great when he played last season. 1 year, $1.3 million. We got a couple of other depth pieces. You know, we had your boy Jake Bailey at punter coming in. Hopefully his quads are okay. Malik Reed at outside linebacker from Pittsburgh for a year. Miles Gaskin, we pick back up at running back for depth piece, 1 year, $1.2 million. River Craycraft at wideout, 1 year, $1 million. And then of some of the other ones we picked up, Duke Riley. I mean, Duke Riley's okay. He can be a little bit athletic, but he's a little slow on the draw, and he's not very good in coverage. So 2 years, $5 million on him. It's not breaking the bank. We did pick up New York Jets wide receiver legend Braxton Berrios, 1 year, $3.5 million. So in case you don't know, we're probably trying to dump Cedric Wilson. In fact, it's been put out there we're trying to trade him, which was, in my opinion, a stupid move anyways, because he didn't do anything in Dallas except for two games, and then we paid him all that money. He caught, 16 passes, not even, 12 passes or something like that, 12 catches last year. I don't even want to look. It's depressing. We take a look at Van Ginkle. That was interesting. So Andrew Van Ginkle was supposed to go to New England, right? And then Vic Fangio, I guess, calls him on the phone and says, I really want you here. And he says, okay. And he comes back to Miami. He doesn't sign the deal with New England. He comes back to Miami for less money. 1 year, 2.6 mil. He was going to get paid 3.1, I think the rumor was, for New England. So he left some money on the table to come back. So he is back as a rotational piece. We signed New York Jets quarterback legend Mike White, Sean.
Mike Hot.
Mike White Hot, as he gets in those games. And listen, and before I talk about linebacker, let me just say this about Mike White. Mike White is a good backup. He's also, I believe, the most the highest paid backup in the NFL. We're doing that thing again. Remember how much we paid for Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes.
Yeah. We paid Mike White more. He's 2 years, 8 mil. He's got about 4.5 guaranteed. Now, if he does run the 2 years, it'll be more total, but you know, we'll see how it goes. Mike White, we'll see. But if we have to cut ties, at least it's only 4 mil, but I'm just not, not happy about it. We did pick up a linebacker. You know, we talked a little bit before, like that was a need. We picked up David Long from the Titans. 2 years, 11 mil, 5.5 guaranteed. Now, here's the thing. He has missed 12 games in the last 2 years. And he's only played about 53, 54% of snaps, even when healthy. So Miami's running into some problems. This is leading to that draft question. And David Long, I mean, he's pretty good. I don't mind David Long. I don't think it's really going to make much of a difference, to be honest. But, you know, we still have to sign an extension with Christian Wilkins. So, you know, we got to pay him. And I'm looking at this. We might need a rotational guy on defensive line. I mentioned to you before, some of these guys, we're probably looking to move on from Ogbo to free up money so we can pay Wilkins. So we're going to need a couple defensive linemen. So maybe later in the draft, we'll take a couple rotational pieces. But we don't really have anything until the second round. And personally, I think the most glaring thing that Miami needs is a good right tackle. You know, we gave two with a fifth-year option. So he's getting 23 mil. But the realistic expectation is he's got to be – everything has to be perfect around him. Right. And so he's got to have protection because every single time that dude gets hit, I know he's learning judo and he's learning how to fall and all this other stuff. Great. When you get hit by a 300-pound lineman, though, and you're already just concussed out of your mind multiple times in a season, you've had a broken rib before, you haven't played a full season healthy since high school, the injury's already piling up at 24 years old. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to get a right tackle that can shore up that side. He's got Teron Armstead in the left tackle, but right tackle blind side, Austin Jackson ain't going to cut it. So Miami's going to need to get a solid right tackle in that second round. I don't know if there'll be anybody there, but, you know, right tackle is an option. We also need to start thinking about, too, when it comes to defense, we got to look at corner. It is a corner-heavy draft, Sean, as you know. So I could see us going corner as well because X is probably not going to be here after this season. And Ramsey might be here one more year. You got to have somebody coming up. So corner, right tackle, and honestly, maybe a late round running back because Raheem Mostert's probably done after this season. It's just a 1 year deal. So you have to have another guy to complement Jeff Wilson to be committee work. Need a speed guy, get between those tackles. So we'll talk more about who I think and Sean thinks we should be drafting, of course, in our draft special in our next episode. But man, I look at this Miami team and Sean, I'm just curious. We've put in the work and they're trying, but New England has like done nothing over the last couple of years, and we almost finished with the same record last season. You guys go 8-9, we go 9-8.
I can't say it's coaching. Can't say it's good. Coaching because coaching was the reason why they were in the spot they were in.
I mean, you could say, listen, injuries are a part of the NFL. So I'm sick and tired of people saying that, you know, we would have been better off.
We would have been better. We would have been a playoff team if Tua didn't get injured.
Remember, Mac got hurt too, and they still won 8 games. Like I'm at the point where I just look at, you know, I do think the defense is going to get better with Vic Fangio and, you know, some of the pieces we got there, Jalen Ramsey added on and whatnot. I don't think we're going to be top 10. We'll probably like 12th, 13th, right around there. Better than 24th. But I don't think the offense is going to be as explosive this coming season as people are anticipating. And that just comes down to coaching. So that's my concern. But as far as like, it's just frustrating. You put all this money, all these resources into this team, and you finish with one win more than the Patriots, who are scraping up, literally. Bill Belichick is literally the guy in the restaurant going to everybody's plates after they're done eating, saying, you done with that? And he's just scraping it into a box, taking it home to eat.
So
that's Bill Belichick.
So speaking on that, so Patriots offense currently, is it better than the Miami Dolphins defense currently?
Patriots offense better than their defense?
Ranking wise?
Oh, are you talking 22 or like my thoughts going into 23?
Coming into this year. Let's say we take exactly what we have right now on both teams.
Oh, well, I say we have a good coach on defense with Vic Fangio. So I would take our defense over New England's offense for that reason.
So the reason why I find that interesting is because the same issue that, you know, you're probably having with the fan base being that they're expecting so much from Vic Fangio with practically what the addition of one, maybe the loss of a few players.
Mm-hmm.
New England, slightly increase your receiver, slightly increase, got a better tight end room, slightly got a better running back, but Billy O. I think he rolls out of bed and he's an actual NFL coach, and I don't think Matt Patricia was that guy. So I think it's interesting that the Patriots and the Dolphins, in a way, offense and defense, are kind of in the same boat from last year.
They are.
You got a way better coach. Does the coaching make that much of a difference?
I have faith that Vic Fangio will, when he's just focusing only in on defense, I think that he will, you know, be able to get a lot more out of that team and the players there. Again, are we going to be a top 10 defense? No, we're not going to. And that's okay. I'm looking for improvement. Is he going to improve us? Yeah. I mean, you still have to have talent. But if you're looking at the way that this team is built with the Dolphins, what is a staple of Vic Fangio's defense? They're always giving up on the run. They shut down the pass as much as possible, but on the run, they haven't been that great against it. Go look at when he was with the Niners and with the Broncos. That's just a staple because he's forcing you to run. So if we're going up against run-heavy teams, you know, and I look at that front defensive line and I look at some of our linebackers, I mean, you know, there's potential there. And New England is a team that can run, and especially picking up James Robinson, and you've got, you know, Ramondre Stevenson back there. And a tackle that could play tackle. Novel thought. But yeah, I think that there's a lot more to it than if there's going to be X's and O's. Bill O'Brien is a great coach. Vic Fangio is a great defensive coach. Would I take Vic Fangio over Bill Belichick defensively? Never. Ever. But when it comes down to like Bill O'Brien versus Vic Fangio, it'll be interesting. They'll move puzzle pieces around. We'll probably split this coming season. That's just the way that it'll go. But I think it'll be a lot more back and forth than what people will think. Like in terms of, we're going to see a lot of changes from game one to game two. You know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of coaching adjustments as opposed to saying like, oh, well, Teddy Bridgewater broke his thumb from getting stiff armed by Kyle Duggar.
So. This brought up something interesting that I just thought while you were talking. You were talking about Tua.
Yeah.
And, you know, surrounding him with difference makers, you know.
He's a gold mine.
When everything is good around him, Tua's competent. I think after the initial first season with Mac Jones coming in, and we saw, hey, he played pretty well for a rookie, coming into what they consider a kind of a complex offense. So there might be a correlation with these Alabama quarterbacks and absolutely needing everything to be in the right place and to have a few difference makers just to be better than average, just slightly better than average.
Oh,
and I think that might be the case as well with Mac Jones. I think he needs the guys to do the lifting, and he just kind of goes along with like the change.
I'll piggyback off that. Mike McDaniel recently did a sit down interview talking about he's getting all that greatness out of Tua. He says that he watched 700 pass plays and saw Tua making throws that no quarterback has ever made, which, listen, Miami PR, you've done a great job. Major kudos to you, you know, but at the end of the day, no. But he says that they're sitting on a gold mine, and, you know, they said that Tua's, he called him a point guard. He just gets the ball to the playmakers. And, you know, nothing against Mike McDaniel, but if you're going to be head coach, I know you're trying to hype him up, but it's kind of burying the dude. Like, a quarterback is if you're going to win a Super Bowl, now don't, everybody's going to start saying, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Look at these game managers, you know, but okay. For every
that was a different NFL back then, by the
different
way.
Different NFL. Since the dawn of the new passing era, right? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got, I mean, all these quarterbacks that can, if push came to shove, could put a team on the back and get it done, right? For the most part, at least get you deep in the playoffs, almost one game out from the Super Bowl every time. So Tua's not that guy, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he's a good kid. You know, he's got his head's in the right place. He wants to do well. He wants to make money. He wants to play to his best ability. But when you're saying that Tua is a point guard and he just needs to get it to the playmakers, like, what happens when the playmakers don't make plays? He's not a guy that is going to be able to
elevate his team. Anybody. They elevate him. Yeah.
Anybody.
And I think that's the same case with Mac Jones is.
Exactly. Yeah. These Alabama quarterbacks, when you have Henry Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, DeVonta Smith as your wide receivers, and of course Jalen Waddle, don't want to forget him. We have those four guys, and you have the run games that you do, the line that you do. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you're going into these teams that expect you to rise to the occasion a little bit, and you can't. And it's not saying that they're bad quarterbacks. It's just saying that they're average.
Yeah, and you know, it's completely two different worlds, even like media wise, like you were saying. You know, you got Mike McDaniel, who's like breaking his neck trying to just make a compliment for Tua, like just forcing compliments. And you have Bill Belichick on the other seat going, everyone's going to compete for a job. The best player is going to play. Refuses to say Mac Jones is even the quarterback. And as that may be, you know, you heard some of the rumors where, oh, they're shopping Mac Jones. I'm like, okay, is it just possible in free agency? I'm pretty sure every single team, every single GM, every single quarterback has been in a conversation with trade talks. That's what you do. You pick up the phone. Hey, just asking, what do you want for the guy?
No, you know, Lamar Jackson in New England?
It's your job. It's your job. No, absolutely not. Because you would have to completely change your philosophy, you know, multiple players, everything. Yeah. It's too much. Mac Jones. How's he feeling after all this? Probably not good, I think.
Think he's feeling fine because he has an offensive coordinator who knows how to utilize his talents. And he has an offensive coordinator.
Him out at halftime or after a timeout.
No, I can't say that. You know he will. But I will be saying this, though. Bill O'Brien is going to understand, and I said this to you, too. You're going back to 2011 again. You're going to get 6-7-yard passes, death by 1,000 cuts, move down the field, open it up with some play action, get the run game going, use the pass as an extension of the run of time.
They run play action.
Oh, don't tell that to Matt Patricia. He doesn't know what that is. So you're going to have it opened up, big body receiver in the red zone like Mike Gesicki. I do see that New England offense is definitely going to get a lot better. It has to compared to last year. But I do think at the end of the day, if something goes where it's like, okay, listen, Mac, listen, Tua, game's on you. You got to get this done. You know, Tyreek's out, or Tyreek's getting shut down, or, you know, Gesicki's hurt, or Juju is getting, you know, shut down over there on the left side of the field. We need you to make a play happen. Bro, forget it. Forget it. It's game over. The last, okay, two examples. Mac Jones had to make something happen. Remember the Raiders game? He got stiff-armed by Chandler Jones.
To be fair, that wasn't his fault, which Jacoby, I think, already playing for the Raiders that game.
I don't care. I don't care. It went down in infamy as the worst. If they win that game, they were in the playoffs. At the end of the day, like when the season was said and done, they would have been in the playoffs. But instead, Mac Jones gets stiff-armed and looks up like he's – it's my fault. But
I had a better example of Mac Jones. We need to make a play, make a play. We're in a close game against the Bills. You're going into the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And Mac Jones just slings an interception. And I'm like, yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's
there's your Mac Jones. Mine was more of a summarization. But Tua's example, okay? Tua's example is we have the Packers on the ropes on Christmas Day, and he's thrown for like 285 yards, and he's doing really well. And people are saying, wow, look at Tua. Three drives, three interceptions, game over, we lose. That's it. All you had to do was not throw one pick, and he just goes, eh. And anybody who says that Tua was concussed and that's why, shut up. Shut up. You have no proof that he was concussed for that, because that concussion supposedly happened in the second quarter.
I said, no, that
no, and he still threw well until
the prior
fourth.
Two games. His back was hurting. It wasn't a concussion. You know, you just seize a little bit when you're on the ground and completely collapse when you stand back over. That's not a concussion. But when we actually play bad and make three consecutive bad drives,
that's a concussion.
He's concussed.
Oh yeah, no,
it's convenient.
Throwing up gang signs on primetime television. No, that's not, you know, when you're laying on the ground, but just making bad throws. Oh, he was totally concussed. You could tell because it doesn't fit my narrative. Listen, if you told me Tua was our backup quarterback, you'd have my support all day long. He's a great, great backup quarterback. He could be like the new, you know, guy that comes in and gets hot, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? But he ain't the guy. And I think this season's really going to show it. And it's not me being down on him. It's just reality is we're limited with him. We don't have a gifted athlete at quarterback. We don't have somebody that can make plays or extend drives. We have undersized, a player at the quarterback position. But you know what? I digress, Sean. We got a lot that's happened at free agency. Things are going smooth. Draft is coming up, and we will be giving our draft analysis. Sean, obviously, you guys have more draft picks than us, but we're going to be coming up with that. And, of course, wherever podcasts are, we are on YouTube as well. You can catch our shorts on there, full-length episodes with video. But, Sean, you got anything to add in closing?
No. We're on to the draft.
On to the draft. See you, everybody.